Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is pretty cool, too. Former sports agent Joel Corey, expert on NFL contracts, salary cap expert, writer for CBSSports.com, is joining us right now. And he wrote a piece today on what we might expect from a Ben Roethlisberger contract extension. It's about that time for Ben going into the final year of his deal. Joel, how are you, sir? We appreciate you joining us.
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to salary cap things and looking at contract numbers, my brain just starts to spin. And I have tremendous respect for people like you who spent, you know, years navigating this thing. So when it comes to Ben's contract, bottom line, what might it look like, Joel, and what would be most beneficial to the Steelers?
Well, the first thing that has to happen is Ben has to decide, am I going to try to maximize the contract like I did the previous extensions, or am I going to go the Drew Brees route and give Pittsburgh a slight financial break because I'm entering the twilight of my career? He'll be 37 in March, and leave a little money on the table. So that's the first thing which has to happen. That's a decision he and his representatives have to make. Typically, agents aren't in favor of players not getting their full value because agents feel it's not the player's job to help the team manage the salary cap. But you work for the player as an agent, and you're supposed to execute his wishes. So I'm interested to see how that dynamic plays out first.
And you're saying on the last deal that he pretty much maximized, right?
Well, when he signed it, he made him the second highest paid player in the league behind Aaron Rodgers, who was at $22 million per year. The deal averaged the new money, $21.85. You're never going to have the type of guarantees that you have in most other places around the league because of the way Pittsburgh does contracts. So I'm not really looking at guaranteed money as a real indicator with anybody who does a Pittsburgh veteran contract.
Well, the Steelers have to make this move, though, don't they? Because, I mean, this will help their salary cap this year, kind of kick the can down the road a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, because that's the Steelers' MO. They're one of the teams which annually kicks the can down the road. The Dallas Cowboys do it. The Saints have been playing that game for years as well. So his cap number is $23.2 million. You're going to want to lower that in an extension. And I know some people have said, well, we can tack on 2 years. But if you're really trying to maximize your cap savings in 2019 and you don't really care about kicking the can down the road, you're going to tack on 4 new years so you can prorate a signing bonus for the maximum 5 years that you can. And if he doesn't play all 4 years of the extension, you're going to have some dead money in the latter years when he's not playing, but that never seems to be a concern of Pittsburgh given their ability to kick the can down the road. So I'm looking at the extension being a maximum, the 4 years so you can get the maximum signing bonus proration.
Talking to Joel Corey, CBSSports.com, he wrote today about what a Ben Roethlisberger extension might look like. Longtime sports agent, so he knows whereof he speaks. So, okay, so what might we be talking about then? Let's say Ben is willing to take a slight little discount here for the benefit of the team. It sounds to me, Joel, like we're looking at a 4-year extension, perhaps, with a $40 million signing bonus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I thought 40 might be the range where it could come in because the last signing bonus was 31. The cap was $143 million and some change then. It's going to be in the $190 million range. So you need a big signing bonus. It could be more, could be a little less, but if you go 40 and you drop his base salary down to the league minimum, because he's got $6.2 million of signing bonus proration remaining that you can't do anything about from the current deal. then you're looking at creating almost $8 million of 2019 cap room. In terms of what the overall value of the extension would be, to me, anything that is under adjusting his current deal to the increase in the cap is considered a huge victory to me from a Pittsburgh standpoint. That put it at roughly $29 million per year if you just merely adjusted the current deal. That doesn't get him to the $30 million per year barrier where Matt Ryan is, and Aaron Rodgers is at $33.5 million. If Russell Wilson gets a new deal, which is something Seattle is going to try to get done, I expect him to be the highest paid player in the league. And then if the Rams decide to do something with Jared Goff, who is eligible for an extension, he's going to go past the $30 million per year barrier.
Joel, moving on to Antonio Brown. Now, I'm obtuse. I admit that. You know, people have said there's $21.1 million of dead cap money if they trade or release him. Ed Bouchette, who covers our team, says that is absolutely erroneous, that it's 21.1 on one side, but you save his salary and his roster bonus if he is gone, which is like 15. His contention is it's only $6 million of dead money. Can you explain that confusion?
No, on the books it'll be $21.12 million of dead money because of the proration in the last 3 years of his deal. But he does have a point that you're saving the cash, and you're looking at it from the standpoint that the cap number is right now $22.165 million, so you actually save a little bit on the cap in terms of dead money versus having him on the roster. But that leaves a big hole in terms of
you got to pay somebody to replace him, right?
Yeah, you got to pay somebody to replace him. Presumably, you're going to get at least one first round pick for him. The team which would have the most draft capital to do that and has a glaring need at receiver is the Oakland Raiders, who have three first-round picks. Now, some of the other teams that need receivers, they pick too high in the draft to give up a 2019 first-round pick, in my opinion, because you got the Niners picking way up in the draft. Arizona's not giving up the first overall pick to get Antonio Brown. So the Jets need a receiver. They pick really high in the draft. So those types of teams, that makes a trade to one of those a little bit difficult, notwithstanding George Kittle's not-so-subtle recruiting of Antonio Brown on Twitter.
Lastly, Joel, Le'Veon Bell, if he hits the open market, and I think we're assuming the Steelers are going to just take the draft pick and let him go UFA here, although I suppose they could do the transition tag if they knew they had a deal in place. If he hits the open market, is he going to get the money that he's looking for, the kind of money that'll make everybody say, see, he was smart for doing that?
Now, to me, it wasn't a smart decision because I don't see the logic behind trading $14.5 million in a peak earning year for the opportunity to potentially enhance your career, extend it, and get paid in your early to mid-30s when running backs at that age don't make money. Adrian Peterson's at league minimum. Frank Gore is close to league minimum. Not a sound economic move, in my opinion. I get the wear and tear argument, but you got to look at it from this standpoint. The Steelers offer supposedly had $40 million, $45 million over the first 3 years. In order to break even with what he turned down, he's got to sign a deal with $45 to $47 million in the first 2 years. I don't see that happening.
Joel, we really appreciate the time. That was very insightful for a couple of guys who the salary cap makes our head spin.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, guys, anytime.
Absolutely. Joel Corey can read his stuff at cbssports.com. Also on John Clayton's site, you can read his stuff. Really insightful, Ron, I thought.
Yeah, I'm a guy that doesn't have 22 cents in my pocket, let alone 22 million. But yeah.
Let's talk about that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.